Hello and welcome to episode 47 of Track. At Track, our aim is to shine a light on the UK running club scene. This week on Track, we're going to talk to our main man, George Beardmore, about his fifth place finish at the Intercounties over the weekend. Hopefully, Kat Hutchison will be joining us and updating us with her Manchester Marathon prep. And fans' favourite, Robbie Campbell, is back and is training for Southampton Marathon at the end of April. So lots to get through. We've also got an interview at the end of this week's episode again with Becky Briggs, and we'll talk a bit more about what that involves or what that includes at the end of the show. Robbie, George, how are you doing?
Yeah, okay, thank you. Tired, but okay, in one piece. Probably the worst run of my life this morning, if I'm honest.
Oh, go on then, what happened?
Well, just hour and 40 minutes, just the slowest hour and 40 minutes of my life, really.
That must be your slowest long run for a long time, George.
Probably years. And it felt, I was pleased Frank didn't give me 6 minute miling, but it just ended up being 6 minute miling effort. but for even longer, yeah, it was just, yeah. Tough day. Yeah, the legs did not feel good, but yeah, it doesn't matter, I suppose.
And the legs didn't feel good for a valid reason, as I just mentioned, fifth place at the Intercounties Cross Country at Prestwold Hall yesterday. So first of all, congrats, massive run, massive achievement. Pretty mind-blowing. How did it go? Talk us through it.
Yeah, I still don't know, really. I thought I knew it was going to be a weaker field than National. But then at the same time, I had what I thought was the best run of my life at Nationals. So to be honest, I thought, like, you can't expect to do that again. So anything around 25th would have been pretty good. Anything better was a bonus. I still don't really know how I finished fifth. I certainly wasn't expecting it. Like, the people I was running with and like how, I think I was like 6 seconds off a medal in the end. And like 16 seconds behind Zach Mohammed, who I've come up the age groups with and always been minutes, at least a minute, 2 minutes at times behind him. And yeah, so to be 16 seconds behind, he maybe didn't have the best day. He was probably hoping to win. But by miles, the best run I've ever had. I think the course suited me. It was pretty, there were some muddy patches, but 80% of the course was firm it was spongy in places, but it was dry. And I still see myself as a road runner. So that suited me. Just one of those days where I think everything fell into place. To be honest, the course was perfect for me. I got the perfect start. I obviously just felt really good. The support, with it being in Loughborough and either Loughborough runners that had run already that day or loads of people went that weren't running. I think I probably had more support on the course than anyone else, along with the other Loughborough runners in the race. So that made a big difference. By miles the best run of my life. Still don't really know, what to say about it. This is probably terrible audio, but podcasting, but yeah.
Well, so you looking at the footage, I've only seen some pretty amateur footage from friend of the show, John Danaher, actually on YouTube. There probably is better footage out there, but looks like you were you kind of top three or four from the start and just held on to position?
Yeah, so, well, the start was a bit uphill and it bottlenecked really quickly. A bit silly, really. In hindsight, it played into my hands because I just decided I'm just gonna send it the first 100 meters. That got me into the really good position that I ended up in. So I think, it bottlenecked too quickly, really. I think it was you went from, 80 meters wide or whatever to about 10. And it was metal barriers as well. So you couldn't even if you stand on one of those legs of the barriers, you're probably out of the race. And yeah, so I think just got a really good start. And then Dan Howarth, I think his name is, and he was the one that sort of pulled away, because we did like a really small lap first of like a cabbage field. So after a bit of a chaotic start with that narrow bit through the woods, like it then settled down a bit and everyone just sort of relaxed a bit. And then, so he clearly didn't want that. Put like 10 meters into the group and Zach chased him. And then I was pretty much towards the front of the chasing pack throughout, really. Callum Johnson pulled away and then caught up and kept on going and went straight past the other two. So I was fourth for most of the race. I knew that there were strong runners behind me. And I to be honest, I was so confused for most of the race that I was fourth. I was just expecting like everyone to come flying past me at some point. Even though I felt good, I still, yeah, just had no idea that I was going to be that high up. It was Alex Tootin in the end that did come past me. He finished really strong up the last hill, and he like did a zigzag in the last field. And I just like that last, there were a group of Loughborough like athletes, friends at the bottom of that hill. So probably about 2 minutes to go. And I think at that point I was like, dying, and they said I could tell. I mean, I held it together well, but I was in a lot of pain at that point. So I just couldn't go with Tootin, who came straight past me. But yeah, held on to fifth. Yeah, just like I say, one of those days where everything fell into place. I don't know what made me think I could be pushing the pace in the chasing pack or be at the front of it. Yeah, I just ended up there. And it sort of became a point about halfway through the race where I'd come too far and just thought, screw it. You might as well, like, you might come 35th. Try. I mean, I thought it was a medal on offer, and I would say I was 6 seconds outside because Dan Howarth went hard early. He wasn't dying, but I could tell we were closing. So obviously I was in fourth at that point, thinking that third was vulnerable. So I just thought, well, you might as well try. And if you come 35th, then who cares? But obviously I held it together well enough, and yeah
brilliant. Amazing.
George, I asked for a few questions on Instagram, and one came in, sort of leads into what you just said. So Sam Lee, who's a young Worcester athlete, asked a question, and Sam's running really well at the moment, actually. But he asked, like, what was your mindset / goal / ambition before and during your race? So, like, presumably on the start line you had an idea about sort of 25th would be a good result because of that's where you finished in nationals, but that sort of shifted quite quickly during the race, and then it was just a case of, well, I'm here now, I might as well keep.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, before the race I wasn't really that confident at all. Hadn't like felt great in training the week. Tuesday session was all right. I'd just been feeling a bit flat since nationals. I had a really good Sunday run the week before, like a week ago. But other than that, like just didn't feel great in training. So I wasn't really that confident. Just tried to tell myself that it didn't really matter. Pressure's off. I've sort of performed well at nationals, so it was just a bit of a free hit. And I think that probably just helped me going into the race. And then, like I say, I just got probably the best start I've ever got. And then I think, because there were so many Loughborough like supporters there as well, that made a big difference. Because I mean, I knew like every time I was running past them, they were probably thinking like, well, what is he doing? But like, there's obviously that small, when you've got that, you feel like home support, I don't know, it just gives you an extra boost. You sort of want to impress even more because there are people there watching. Basically just decided probably a third of the way in when I was feeling good. I could tell that the group of, because when I was at the front of the kind of the chasing pack after a mile ish, like there was probably about 30 people there. So although I was like probably third or fourth at times, I was probably like 10 meters off being like 33rd. Although I was high up in the field, like I still had it in the back of my mind that like top 25 would still be a good run when there are that many people around. And then just maybe after 2 or 3 miles, just noticed that, just turned around on one of like a tight corners and pretty much noticed that I was in the top 10 and like away and clear and like going to be in the top 10. And that's when I just decided, yeah, like you're feeling good. Why not? Like, there was just points where I just thought you've sort of come too deep now. You're in fourth, chasing third. Like, why slow down? You might pay for it, but
yeah,
just mindset just switched completely to, yeah, why not?
Yeah, and just in terms of results, so Callum Johnson obviously won quite convincingly. He had about a 21-second lead over Zach Mohammed. And then, as you said, Dan Hayworth third, Alexander Tooten fourth. But between Zach Mohammed in second and you in fifth was only, what was that, 16 seconds? So,
yeah.
And like you, as you say, you were 6 seconds off third place. So, yeah, it was all to play for, really. And it was, a tight race in the end between second and fifth.
In terms of the accolades as a Worcestershire runner, George, I know we messaged a little bit about it last night, but highest Worcestershire runner in living memory, you reckon? What's, I know we talked about Will Richardson, but I don't think Will's actually run the Open Age looking at his power of 10. So I can't think of another. I mean, sure, the manager Keith, what was his reaction afterwards? Did he talk to you about that?
Yeah, he mentioned that he couldn't think of anyone recently. And I think a couple of the runners did as well. Obviously, Jenny has won the women's race, but certainly the men's. Yeah. I can't think of anyone. So that's quite nice as well. And I think particularly, like you mentioned, Sam Lee asked that question. Just for the younger athletes in Worcestershire, or particularly at Worcester Athletics Club, because I was a good junior. I wasn't that good. Like, I was finishing 150th, probably even worse at times. So I just think it's good for the other younger athletes, people like Sam, who's broken some of my club records, to see that, if you're consistent and train reasonably hard, then you can get there. So that's quite nice as well. I was pleased he asked that question, because I think he's probably the best junior at Worcester at the moment, and he's better than me, better than I was at that age. So yeah, if you stick at it, and yeah, why not?
George, you sort of answered another question we got for you, and this one was from Isaac McAdam, and it was, how are you so good? So you sort of answered that, I guess. Consistent, yeah. doing it week in and week out over years, I suppose.
Yeah, that's my housemate next year, housemate. I guess I don't think I was ever really that talented. I know I always had natural endurance. I was never very good at the 1500, but the longer the race, the better it's always been for me, even through under 15s and stuff. But I think it's just that I train reasonably hard. I don't do anything silly. I'm not perfect. I go to the gym most weeks, I'm pretty good against the gym, but I'm not perfect at stretching. You just have to be sort of good enough at everything and be consistent. And I've been lucky not to get injured. I think that's made a big difference. I've some of that is within your control as well: stretching, S&C, sleep, nutrition, hydration, all that kind of thing. But in general, I've been quite lucky to not get injured, and then consistency pays off, I guess. I don't do special sessions all the time. I'd say maybe one in four is a really good session, or once every 2 or 3 weeks, and everything else is just trying to just pretty average, and it's just stringing it together consistently that's the hard thing, I think.
I think you obviously you're a humble guy, George, but from the outside looking in, obviously we've all kind of known each other for a few years, and your attitude week in, week out over the course of the season and every season, it's not just about kind of doing it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just your kind of decision making as well just seems to be pretty sharp. It's not an accident that, you're not injured, naming any names myself. can't handle the decision making and running, and just kind of is always kind of cropped. That element of it is probably the toughest element to get right. And you know, you see, I don't know how tough you find that, or whether that comes easy.
I mean, I think it's always tough. I mean, I run through niggles that I probably shouldn't do. I had like patella issue like a few weeks before Bucks, and there were days I definitely shouldn't have been running on it, and I did, and like you get away with it. Like you just sort of hope you get away with it every now and then, and I did. So I don't recommend that. But like I'm not it's impossible to like always get every decision. Like that one turned out to be fine. I ran through patella pain and got away with it. So it's definitely difficult. Like, yeah, I'm always someone that wants to train more. I'm lucky with my coach Frank that he sort of knows my limits quite well, and although my training looks hard and it's probably higher mileage, more like steady stuff than most people in Loughborough, Frank knows it works for me and that I can handle it, so that helps. I guess it's just the consistency that I've been able to put together, particularly this season. Like I made massive progress like October, November. Like went from sort of being nowhere in sessions with like the GB runners we've got at Loughborough to being at the front of mobile quite a few sessions, and yeah, just had the consistency, yeah, just been consistently doing that over the last few months. And I think, like I say, just everything fell into place this race. Perfect course conditions, just everything for me was perfect on the day, and it's sort of the breakthrough that maybe I deserved. I mean, national felt like a breakthrough at the time, but even yesterday after the race, I was just sort of saying to people in Loughborough how shocked I was to finish fifth, and their response was that they weren't really that shocked, that they knew I had it in me and it was just a matter of time, which is quite nice. Very nice. And just we're so lucky with the group here, not only how good all the runners are, but just how well we all get on, and like everyone, like we're not rivals, we want each other to do well, and that like comes across at the race yesterday when just everyone's cheering for you. So that makes a massive difference as well.
Two questions for me before I let somebody else speak. But like first question is, do you consider this to be your best race, even better than the South Coast 10 miler?
Yeah.
Well, not best race, that's the wrong term, but your most, what's the word I'm looking for? The race you're most proud of.
Yeah, definitely. I think just because the Great South Run was like really good. Just nailed the race perfectly. I wanted to run sub 50 and I did it like 49.59. But I think just everything about this race, that's in Loughborough, like the people. I mean, I had family at the Great South Run, but like there was no team. And I mean, I'm aware that the field was weaker than particularly the front than national and than normally it would be. The intercounties, if it's world trials and stuff, you'd get your Jack Rose, Sesselman, Smiths, Hugo Milners, Mohamed, all that lot. But like on paper, I have finished fifth at a British Championships. So just on that alone, then yeah, definitely.
And also looking at, so when you kind of settle and look back after this cross country season, do you actively kind of feel like you're in a different bracket now than you were in October and September?
Yeah, definitely. I think I wouldn't like be scared, I suppose, to run with the people I was running with yesterday. Like I'd never even like consider in any race, whatever it was, Bucks, Liverpool, on the track, on the road, I'd never consider trying to go with Zach Mohamed. And although he might not have had the best race yesterday, I was 16 seconds behind him over 6.5 miles. Like I would now believe more that I'm capable of going with him. He's still a better runner than me. He's got much kind of better pedigrees, like won everything through the age groups, run for GB over and over again. But like just having that belief that you can go with them on the right day, and sometimes you might blow up, sometimes you might pull it off, but yeah, definitely I think I've like gone from being like a good club runner or a good junior to like someone now. I feel like if things go right for the next few months, I deserve like international GB sort of stuff. I'm the best runner at Loughborough that hasn't got a GB vest, like put it that way. So yeah.
Science stuff.
Great stuff, George. And my money was on Robbie to be the first one of us to get a GB vest. So,
I've gone out and bought a GB vest. Your money is well placed, Ben, actually.
Let me just quickly run through the senior women's guys. So Mari McLennan won. George, I don't know how much you saw of the senior women's race. Jess Gibbon second, Kate Avery third. Did you get to see many of the other races at the weekend?
No, not really. I got there quite late, actually, because by my standards, the parking was terrible, but also because I'm living so close to Loughborough, there's no reason to like leave ridiculously early. So no, I pretty much got there, warmed up, raced and went home, which was quite nice.
Very nice. Cool. We've been joined by Kat. Kat, you've just been running some loops. Everything okay with you?
Yeah, just finished 23 miles of loops around Wainwright.
Oh, good. Did I tell you that John was getting a telling off yesterday morning by someone from the highways agency because of all the mile markers on the road around there?
Yeah, he did say, I think he's gone too far with the spray paint.
Yeah.
What was the conversation, Ben? What was the how did it look? Surely John Potts surely he just floored him, didn't he?
Well, I just kept running. I tried not to pay any attention, but yeah.
It was an unofficial. He was actually an off duty, but he did mention that it's been highlighted that. There's quite a lot of marks down there now.
And that's a poor character reference for you. How much have you got out of those markers? And how many times have you used them? And the minute you see some disgruntlement and the person that's kind of gone out there for you to get all your training in the bag, and then you just run past as if it's nothing to do with you.
Yeah, I just ran home. I'm not getting involved in any of that. Robbie, you've not been with us for a while. Do you want to update us with I suppose the big news that you're training for your first marathon at the end of April? Southampton. Why Southampton? How's the training?
Yeah. So Southampton for a couple of reasons, really. One, because I just couldn't pin down a like more suitable one, I suppose. So Manchester was just gonna be like slightly too early. So to go back before Christmas, I was still struggling a bit with my injury. So then I gave myself a bit of a tester of 4 weeks of just trying to do 70 miles consistently. So that would have been kind of through January. And then if I held up, then that would have been decision made. So I held up okay, start to feel a bit stronger and doing like all some of the right stuff that George does so well. By that point, it was Manchester would have been just slightly too early, which is a shame because obviously that's the one that I'd like to do. Obviously, you two are doing that. And then you kind of left with, I suppose it's the after the Lord's Mayor show, isn't it? So there was Milton Keynes at the start of May. So we all know what I feel about Milton Keynes generally. And it just looked, that would have probably been the perfect date, but it just looks a bit sad. So too many roundabouts, and obviously after all my analysis of watching the YouTube footage, it just looks a bit, I don't know, a bit it's not the sort of marathon that you want to fall apart on 20 miles was my thought process.
Uninspiring, maybe?
And spot Milton Keynes or the marathon?
Well, I was the Milton Keynes marathon route, I was thinking.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, definitely uninspiring. So Southampton is not a million times better, but it's definitely kind of more town centre feel. Plus I've got somewhere to stay in Southampton as well. So with one of my oldest friends, so make a bit of a weekend of it and whatnot. So yeah, all in.
I think I'll be down there that weekend.
Are you really?
I've got to pick the kids up because that's the end of the Easter holiday, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's the last weekend of the Easter holidays. Are you going to come and watch my...
Come and stand at 20 miles.
Well, I'm planning on stepping off at 20 miles, actually.
I'll bring the car.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, if you could start, like, tailgating me from about 15, 16, maybe. So I presume I won't get past 22. I think my daughter will be down there with me. So if we could just pretend I might step back onto the race on about 25 and just try and make it look as though I'm finishing. But
Robbie, I've been trying to get you to answer this question multiple times and you avoid it like a politician avoids questions. What's the time goal? Do you have a time goal? What do you think you're going to run?
So I'm going to go out at for 250 is what I'm going for.
250.
250.
I think so.
So yeah, that's the, so
yeah. About it, and you said 245. This was like a year ago or something. And
yeah,
we all started going oh, really hard, you know.
Yeah. So my thinking is, I'd rather not finish than finish with a time that I'm not happy with. So, So obviously, this is. I can see it in your eyes, Ben. You're thinking this guy knows what he's doing.
I'm liking your attitude, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, so I'm just, but I see it. If I'm going to go all the way down to Southampton, I'm not going to go down to run like, 310 or whatever. So, 305. So I mean, my training hasn't been particularly scientific, but it has been relatively solid with kind of like hopefully pretty kind of sensible decisions, just got to kind of ramping it up a little bit. So, in my first long run, kind of session with marathon pacing on Thursday and hit the pace and felt like all right for 10 miles. So,
sorry, Robbie, what is marathon pace and what was the session?
So that was just 5 miles easy, 10 miles at marathon pace, 5 miles easy, basically. So the 10 miles at marathon pace would have been just less than 6:30. So, which Howard pretty well. To be fair, I actually felt like absolutely fine, but then the last 2 miles of the easy, the 18 to 20 was a bit of an experience. So I'm learning all the time anyway. So
very good.
But yeah, how's your training going, you say?
Go on, Kat, you update us.
Well, I did 23 today is the furthest I've ever done in training. I had this kind of belief from years ago that I'd never run above 20 in training because it just totally knackered my legs. But obviously, as I've built up over the years, I've always stuck to that. But I think it's out of laziness that I just psychologically going over 20 just seems like too far. So I've always just said, oh no, it damages my legs, I won't do it. So, but today, Coach John just said 23. And so I was just like, all right, well, I'll just go and do it. And it's, I ended up running a bit probably quicker than I should after last week's 20 miler at marathon pace, or well, probably lower than marathon pace. And so it was all right. It was, Sally did the last 13 miles with me and she'll tell you I did whinge a little bit at the end. and it does make me really think 26 miles is a really long way.
Yes. What pace did you do 23 at?
I did it at 8:20 pace. So I started off pretty again when Sally dropped in, it picked up a bit. But 8:22 is like 3:40 marathon, which is what I've run before. I did 23 miles at that pace today. So
surely after your 20 miler though, you must have
my legs are tired. Yeah.
I was gonna say you must be aiming for a little bit quicker than 3:40.
I'd like to go under 3:30, and it seems quite achievable. And I think I can do. It's been a really rubbish build-up. I'm practically not running. Like I did 37 miles this week. Like I just don't think I'm going to get away with that sort of training and run my best marathon. But I think I will PB. I just don't think. And it does get tough when I get into the higher stuff because I haven't really done the work. Once I get to 20 miles, it hurts.
Why aren't you running? What's going on?
I don't know. I did 60 miles a week for all of January and was kind of hoping to build from there, but it just seems I'm not handling the mileage like I used to. Whereas I could go up to 90 miles and, you know, even on that 94 mile week, I was still thinking I could make it 100. I'm not going to because I might get injured. But now 60 just started to seem tough. I was just getting a bit of burnout. And so I had to back off for a week. And then, you know, I have been doing like 50 miles. And this week was only so low because John told me to take 2 days off after the 20 miles. And then Molly's had a really high temperature all week. So it's been kind of just one of those weeks where I just haven't got as much in. So I have been doing like 40 or 50 miles, but it's just not been a good build up. But I am running, quite fast. So maybe
you're not injured.
Well, I've got the ongoing knee thing since last June. And when Sally met me today, she did say, you're limping a bit, because I did a slightly faster than, like, run on Thursday. Well, actually, I got dropped by the Worcester AC boys on the Thursday run. And it was faster than I'd wanted to run, really.
If you've had an injury for a year or more, I don't think it passes as an injury anymore, Kat, so you're fine on that. That's just how it is. Yeah, it's not injured. That's just now your makeup of your knee.
I just limp like John Potts, and that's how it is. And how it be now.
3 weeks, Kat. So I suppose it's just about getting to the start line now.
Yeah, taper. But do you even taper from 37 miles? Like,
no, I can go from there.
How's your training going, Dan?
Oh, it's going okay. I felt god awful this week, so that's either a good sign or a bad sign. I'm not sure.
I felt awful last week before Saturday, so
yeah. I think just tired generally, running and life tiredness. So 3 weeks to get fresh is the way I'm looking at it. So
So I've got a couple of marathon questions actually. So I've only come on tonight to get some advice. So I won't.
You're in the wrong place because I've never executed a good one. But
I wasn't going to ask. I was just going to ask. Just never run one. I'm still just going to ask George if that's okay.
Sensible.
even though he's the only one of the four that's only one of the three that's not run a marathon, I'm pretty sure his advice would probably be more solid. But so, like, in terms of like one more down, so I was going to do a bit more of a down week before the relays, which is next Saturday, which would mean so I was going to do about maybe a 60 to 70 mile week, which would be a bit of a down week in the mileage I'm doing. And that would be 3 weeks out. So then I'd effectively have to jump back up for another 2 weeks before tapering. So good decision or bad decision? Should I just train through relays basically and have another high mileage week, or should I have a down week or less?
I don't think it would do you any harm to take a down. They really do seem to be where the adaptions happen. Good after a down week. Had one for a while. Probably safe today.
Is it too late? Is it too late in the training? Do you know what I mean?
It is kind of when you're meant to be peaking, but as long as you've got two more weeks of solid training, I think that would be fine.
Signed off by Kat. Ben, you're looking.
Oh, but yeah, you're only 4 weeks out from the relays, aren't you?
So 2 weeks out, yeah, exactly. So two more training weeks before the relays. And I'd quite like to run quite well at the relays because I'm actually feeling pretty decent about things again. But then and then it's 4 weeks from there. So I'm thinking, what is it, a 10-day taper?
3 weeks. Probably 3 weeks if you've done a good volume. If you did take a down week, you'd probably slightly more 2.5 week taper or something.
I'm so confused. I might just run through it.
If I were you, don't know. Depends what your main goal is, I suppose. If your main goal is the marathon, I might be inclined to train through the relays and then just taper as you would. for a marathon, but I think it's so hard to know. It's so hard to know, isn't it? You want to be on. You want to be standing on the start line, feeling good. So yeah, I if I was in your shoes, I'd probably run through, train through the relays, and then taper afterwards. But what do I know?
I don't know. What do you know?
Not much. George is the one who we should be asking here.
Well, I am.
What would you do, George?
I am training through the relays because of running half on the 3rd of April. So,
okay.
I've had some of my best. Well, I've had good races off training through it. I mean, like if you think you have, if I do a tempo on a Thursday and then a Saturday session, I might feel like unbelievable on the Saturday session, and that could have been a race. So yeah, I never find that training through makes as much of a difference as I think it will. I think it's more, you can get more in your head than anything. If you're standing on the start line thinking, I did a session, I did a tempo, I'm going to run badly, I'm tired, and have those thoughts, then you probably will run badly. But if you just think, I could have had like the best Saturday session I've ever had, like having done a Thursday tempo, and this race is just a Saturday session, then that's right. That was my approach to most of the Birmingham leagues. So seemed to work. That's my take on tapering. Don't taper.
Don't taper. Okay.
The only race I tapered for.
I'm just writing this down now. Don't taper.
The only race I didn't do anything like meaningful on the Thursday before the Saturday race this year was Bucks, which was probably my worst cross country race of the year. So I'm never tapering again. Is what
there you go.
What me and Frank decided.
You just wait till you get to Robbie's age, though, George.
To be honest, after this solid advice from you three, I've just revised my goal to 240, actually. So not tapering, I think that would get me there.
Cool. Good stuff. Guys, there were some other results that happened. I'm not going to go through them all in too much detail because I'm going to introduce the interview soon. But George, you might have known a bit more about this at the World University Cross Country. Izzy Fry won in the women's, and Saskia Millard third, and also the GB won a team silver in the mixed relay. So pretty good showing there at the World University Cross Country.
Yeah, I watched the women's race and then the relay. I didn't watch the men's race because I think I was just getting ready for my race, but. Yeah, the women did really well. I think they had all four in the top 11 or something like that, all four Brits.
Mm-hmm.
And then the relay, Alex, who obviously we interviewed last week, she ran the first leg, won the first leg, looked really good. And then Ned, who's also at Loughborough, ran a good second leg. I thought he ran really well. He just had two very good runners chasing him down, like starting 5-6 seconds behind him. I think they were sub-8. 3K runners, they were just really strong, but Ned still ran really well. And then I can't remember Sabrina Sinner and Justin Davis took them from third to second in the last couple of legs. So yeah, good performance.
Yeah, very good. And also we've seen some fast races over in Europe. So we've seen Emil Caress and Phil Sessman run fast half marathons at the Ghent half marathon, and Jack Rowe clocked a 28:23 10K in Berlin. And there was also a podium/sports shoes 5k event at Barrowfield. Alfie Manthorpe of Sheffield and Trackstar won in 14:09 for the men's. And in the women's, the fastest women's race actually came from the C race, where Megan Davis ran 16 minutes dead. So not a huge amount of racing going on, but plenty to keep us busy. Anything else that caught your eye this week, George, that you want to mention? Obviously, NCAA's indoors happening over in America. But anything else that's caught your eye?
Not really, I don't think. No.
Oh, the final question we got from you then, George, or for you, was you might have seen it. So past Friday, which is the 10,000, one of the 10,000 meter track races, asked you sort of, presumably tongue-in-cheek, how fast you're going to run at their event, which sort of led me on to, have you planned your summer races? Have you thought about what track you're going to do? Obviously, you got Reading Half Marathon in April, but have you spoken to Frank about what you want to attack on the track over the summer?
Not really. So Reading's the third. I'll have an easy week after that. So that'll take me to the 10th. And then Bucks 10,000 meters is on the 23rd. So I'll do that. Have I entered? Yeah, I have entered. That's fine. Yeah, so that's the first main aim, really. I think it varies in standard as to, because it's the week before the main Bucks. So there's a 5K to the main thing. So a lot of people just don't really want to to do a 10K, and it's not really part of the Bucks event, but it's in Loughborough, so there's no reason not to do it. So that's the first main aim, and then I'm hoping to do the Bucks 5K the week after as well. And then past that, I've not really planned much, but I will definitely be at places like Fast Friday, Highgate, the PMCs, 5Ks, all that stuff. So yeah, I guess. Do I need to say a 10K time?
No, you don't. You don't want to. But how about if I say, would you be hoping to break, 14 for 5 this summer? Is that the goal?
Yeah, I think based on training and certainly based on the weekend, like, I'm pretty sure Alex Tooton will be a sub 14 run. I mean, yeah, he obviously beat me the weekend, but I was with him. I ran all right. 14:31 was good for last year, but I think in hindsight, I should have ran faster than that last year. I should have been more like 14:20, and then that would mean this year I'd be certainly hoping for 14:10. And by the time you're at 14:10, you might as well try. Now I know I can just go out hard and hope for the best, and it might work.
And then for the 10,000, breaking the big 30 barrier, is that on your mind?
Oh, I've done that. Did that to Telford.
Okay. So on the track, what's your PB?
Oh, yeah, on the track, it's 30, 15 or 16.
Yeah.
So I think it's just Telford is my fifth race in a row in December. So I think I was like hanging on at that point to like that pre-Christmas block. I think on a different day, I maybe could have run more like 29:40. So on the track this year, I think certainly under 29:30 would be a good aim. Maybe getting closer to, I'm not going to say sub 29 at all. But yeah, certainly under 29:30, I think is achievable on the right race. Yeah, hopefully, something like Highgate or Fast Friday, where you've got pacemakers, maybe lights, fast fields. Yeah, I think that's, I looked out of interest, and like Alex Tooton ran 28:45, I think, at Leeds Abbey Dash. So I'm not saying you want to run that at all. But certainly I think 29:56, which is why my PB is at the moment, and the same for the 14:31. I think I can update them quite a bit, which will be nice.
Very good. Exciting stuff for the summer. We'll soon be here. Get these stupid spring marathons out the way, and then we can. All right, guys. What, anything planned for the week ahead? Just training, work, family, normal stuff.
Yeah.
All of the above, really. Yeah. Just exactly that in a nutshell. Nothing untoward, hopefully.
Good, good. Well, this week's interview, I sat down with Becky Briggs earlier in the week. So lots of you probably know Becky. But Becky is the GB athlete. She's run a couple of marathons, most recently a 2:34 at London. She's going to be running Manchester Marathon in the women's elite field. She's at St. Mary's University, runs for City of Hull, and is also the under 20 half marathon British record holder. So really nice chat with Becky. Very open, very honest. Spoke about loads of things, from training, racing, her plans for after university, and a few other things. So really good interview. Hopefully everyone enjoys it. And let us know what you think. And we will be back soon with some more updates from the four of us. And so thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
See ya. Bye. Thank you.
This week on Track, we are delighted to be joined by a GB international athlete and under 20 British record holder for the half marathon, Becky Briggs. Becky ran a marathon PB of 2:34 in London last year and will once again be tackling the marathon distance in a few weeks at Manchester Marathon. We are speaking to Becky about a week after she ran a half marathon at Wokingham in preparation for Manchester in a time of 73:51 for a second place finish. Becky runs for City of Hull but is based at St Mary's University, and we are delighted that she has agreed to chat to us here at Track. Hi Becky, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for giving us a bit of time here at Track Podcast. We really appreciate it.
That's okay.
So we're speaking on a Tuesday evening. Tuesday, a session day for you. Have you done your running for the day already?
Yes, I have. Yeah, session this morning. Session in Bushey Park, which, sun was shining, so it was a good one. So that was nice.
Oh, that's good. Spring seems to be on its way, doesn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Good. And was it a tough session? How did it go?
Not that it wasn't a tough session, but as I'm in marathon training, it was more of a speed-based session. It was 10 minutes, then 5:43:21, 5:43:21. So it actually felt like a bit of a treat, because longest rep being 10 minutes is, for marathon training, that's kind of quite rare. So for instance, last Friday I did 6x3K, 1K float. So that's kind of, like 24K of continuous running. So when you get 10 minutes and then a break, it actually feels quite nice. So, it was good, but it was nice to do a little bit of something faster as well.
Oh, sounds good. Well, we'll hopefully get into a bit of your Manchester marathon training in a second. But we're speaking, I suppose, it's about 10 days ago, I guess, since Wokingham half marathon.
Yeah.
And 73:50 odd. How did that race sort of compare to your pre-race expectations? Were you happy with it? Was it all in the lead up to Manchester, I suppose?
So it's all in the lead up to Manchester, and it's difficult because, I mean, a lot of people say that if you run a good half in a marathon build up, then you won't run a good marathon. And, to be fair, I'd rather it was that way around. I would rather run the good marathon. And if I, at some point want to focus on getting a really good half time, I'll focus on training for a half. But that being said, I was hoping for a little bit faster. But for me personally, I know, it's been mentioned on another podcast that, apparently it wasn't hilly, but for me, it definitely wasn't flat. And because I do all of my training and all of my sessions in Bushey Park, which has no elevation at all, I found it quite hilly, even if it wasn't, regarded as a hilly race. So I definitely struggled on the hills. So I lost about 30 seconds in the space of like 2 kilometers, mm-hmm. Where there was kind of like a hill at about mile 11. So, but yeah, all things considering, like it was a good run. It was a strong run. I would have liked it to be a little bit faster, but at the end of the day, like, it's not the end of the world. I wasn't specifically like really targeting it. It was a nice event to do. So yeah, it was good.
Okay. And importantly, you've come out the other side without any niggles or injuries or anything like that.
Yeah. See, that's the difficult thing as well. I think that especially when you're doing marathon training, and this is like my third block of marathon training now, is that when I think back to, for instance, 2 years ago, if I would have, raced a half marathon, I would have been in a bit of a hole for like at least a week afterwards, would have been doing just like very, very easy running, like barely running at all type of thing. Whereas now can kind of like bounce back into doing like full training, which in some senses you kind of think, oh, that's frustrating because maybe I should, know how to push myself kind of harder. But equally, when it's in a marathon build-up, you can't be in a hole for a week because you've not got time, and that's not kind of, that's not where you want to be. So yeah.
Okay, so you were fairly quick to get back onto the marathon training afterwards, and I think I'm right in saying it was also your birthday last week. You turned 22, so
yeah,
any big celebrations there, or was it fairly tempered because of marathon training?
Well, the thing is, for the past like 2 years, my birthday, like 2 years ago, it's kind of like when COVID was starting, and then last year was very much like in lockdown. That was my 21st, so literally couldn't do anything. So it was actually really nice. My parents came down, and then my sister came down at the weekend. So yeah, sadly no alcohol involved. That'll wait till after the marathon, but all the same, did, you know, just celebrate it. And I think it's nice to be in a position where, you know, like my running is like a massive part of my life, but I'm at the stage now where like I can see that there are other things as well. And if you don't have a balance and like a happy balance, and you know, you can go out for meals and celebrate your birthday and things, then you know, I don't think that's a healthy place to be. So yeah, it was really nice.
That's good. So other than Wokingham Half, and I think maybe one cross country fixture, have you been fairly focused on training rather than racing throughout this build up towards Manchester?
Yeah, for sure. So Jeff, my coach, is kind of, you know, priority is that especially in marathon training, you need to focus on the marathon training. And I do agree with that, as I think, you know, when you are doing kind of like 10Ks and 5Ks and cross countries, you can, you know, you've got the, you know, the flexibility to race a lot more often. Whereas like in marathon training, if you want to kind of keep it to the 12-week block, which is what Jeff likes to do, and you know, I prefer it as well, because then it doesn't feel like it's drawn out for too long, to just kind of focus on the training, like on the key sessions. Because if you race, for instance, like a 10k or a 5k, then it means that realistically you're probably going to have like one of those marathon sessions, you know, you can't do it that week, and then you've like missed one of the important 12 sessions type of thing. So yeah, mainly focus on just the training.
That's great. Okay, well, if we talk a little bit about your block so far, and I know you've spoken about your block leading up to Kew Gardens, the Olympic trials marathon, was you felt so fit, and some of the sessions you were doing, you felt amazing, and the splits you were hitting were really good. And then compared that to London marathon, where you ran 2:34, perhaps it wasn't such a, you weren't smashing sessions out of the park quite so much, but it was a really solid build. And you obviously finished the race really well in a time that you were somewhat happy with. So where does this build so far, obviously we don't have the outcome yet to compare against, but where does this build fit so far between the Kew build and the London build?
I think it's a difficult one. I feel like the biggest difference is that in the lead up to Kew Gardens, because it was locked down and because it was my first marathon, Jeff, my coach, set out the entire 12-week block with, you know, both of the sessions and both of the pace and like all the paces and everything for the entire 12-week block, so that I could see it kind of well in advance, and I knew what I was doing. And obviously there was absolutely no races at all in between or anything. And I think because of that, I felt like I really, really kind of knew where I was. But equally then, like knowing the sessions coming up, like it did kind of, you did kind of get like that pre-session anxiety that I don't know whether it was always kind of a good idea. And then kind of like, you know, it's harder to adapt things when it's kind of already set in stone. So whereas obviously this time it's been quite different in the sense that like I had booked cross country at the start of February, which like, you know, ideally in a marathon block, like, I mean, well, quite simply, nobody else who's going to be running Manchester Marathon ran the books cross country. But it's my last year at St Mary's, and I missed it last year. And I was like, you know, I want to be part of this kind of like for the team thing. And like, you know, running's all about kind of the experiences. And, you know, like I, you know, books cross country is one of them things that like you've got to do, especially when missed it last year. So yeah, it's been kind of, I would say it's been harder to kind of like track it. And I feel like my life's been so busy this time as well, in the sense that like it's my final term of uni, like, you know, starting the coaching business, you know, like I work as a nanny, just kind of like all things like that seem to have just been, you know, like Manchester Marathon's like round the corner, and I kind of feel like, have I started the marathon training yet? But thinking back, like, you know, I have done like big sessions and stuff, and I'm just kind of trying to trust the process, like enjoy it, you know, Manchester goes how it goes. But you know, I'm so busy at the moment, and I've got to kind of like put the things in place now to kind of help myself, you know, for the future. I want to get the degree, and like if I, you know, kind of slack on that now, then the past 3 years has been kind of pointless type of thing. So you know, Manchester will kind of, it will be what it will be, but there's going to be, you know, I want to give it like my best shot, of course, but there's going to be lots more opportunities, and you know, hopefully more opportunities when, you know, I won't have uni work to do as well. So yeah.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And this might be a question that you may or may not want to answer, but do you put, I know you have in the past, but are you putting time goals on this Manchester Marathon, or is it just a case of racing those around you? Obviously, it's a Commonwealth Games selection race. Is that in the back of your mind, or is it just go out, have a good race, and what will be will be?
I think ultimately what will be, and I think the marathon, I mean, it's simply such a long way that I kind of think, you know, it isn't always what you put in you get out. I don't think that's always the case. You know, there's so many people, so many talented athletes that, you know, put in such amazing marathon blocks, and like, you know, I've seen it myself, and then, you know, something goes wrong in the marathon race, and it doesn't mean that you're a bad runner, and it doesn't mean that you aren't a successful marathon runner. It's just that, you know, that's kind of like, that's the risk. And I suppose that's why, you know, kind of makes the marathon really special. So, I mean, like, I know the time standards for European and Commonwealth, but equally, I think that female, like, marathon running is in such an incredibly strong place at the moment that there's so many well-deserving athletes that, you know, could be selected. And yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, irrelevant, even if I took myself out of the situation, it'll be exciting to kind of see how everyone does type of thing, because I feel like compared to Kew Gardens, when actually there was, like, you know, barely any people that actually finished the race, there's now kind of like so many people who have ran fantastic times and so many people who are going into the trials in such good shape. So yeah, I think I'll simply just kind of go for it. And, you know, I think some people can kind of run so kind of metronomically and kind of say, you know, this is what I'm going for, this is what I'm going to run, but I'm not really that kind of, not that kind of runner. Maybe I will be in 5 years time for the marathon, but yeah, I'm just going to kind of go for it and see what happens. Because I mean, even things like, it all depends on the weather. If it's like blowing a gale force wind over something like the marathon, like, it's gonna make, I really struggle in the wind, for instance, and it's gonna make a huge difference, like a matter of kind of minutes, and it doesn't mean that you've not ran a good race. So yeah, just gonna go for it, really.
Okay, sounds good. I was gonna ask you this a bit later, but you've mentioned it, and obviously we're speaking on International Women's Day as well, so I thought it was an important question. Obviously we've got people like Jess Piasecki, who's just ran an amazing time, Charlotte Perdue, who's running 2:23, I believe, and then other names, Steph Davis, Rose Harvey, Steph Twell, Naomi Mitchell, Natasha Cockerham. You're obviously very young yourself, so you might not have sort of the history in mind, but where do you see women's British marathon running at the moment? Do you feel like it's in a strong place?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's one of those things where I think I kind of went from a position of not being involved or kind of keeping up with British marathon running at all. Obviously, like, you know, everybody knows that Paula Radcliffe's like the world record holder, and, you know, everyone knows that. But I kind of went from a position of like not being involved in it to kind of, you know, my first marathon being the Olympic trial type of thing. So yeah, but I think it's in an amazing place, and I just think it's really fantastic. And I think the more people appreciate kind of how hard it is, and how hard it is, like, you know, for like the female body to, you know, do the marathon training and get through the marathon in itself, regardless of, like, you know, these amazing times that all these girls are putting down. I think it's, yeah, in a really, really strong place. And I'm happy to be a part of it, and hopefully I'll be part of it for the next 10, 12 years as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Do you think there's anything, perhaps a more difficult question to answer for you, do you think there's anything or what needs to change around women's running in Britain? Do you think there are things that we're missing a trick with, either to get more girls and women involved, or for the women that who are already involved in the sport, compared to men's, if you like, or just different?
I think it's difficult, and I think that when you think of, obviously, Paula Radcliffe's time is such a standout time, and, you know, it's so significantly faster than anybody else has ever ran. But the kind of publicity around Charlotte's time at London and then Jess's time a few weeks ago, I simply think that if it was kind of like the second or third rankings for like males on the like British all-time lists, it would have been shouted about a whole lot more than it has been. I just think it's quite sad, really, because why is it any different? And I don't know, it's hard because, like, maybe it is a male dominated sport. I don't know. I think it's a difficult one. I think, like, it's female running and female sports probably in a better place than it ever has been in the past, but I think there's still definitely kind of improvements to be made for it to kind of, you know, kind of be equal type of thing. Yeah, for sure. And even things like, for instance, when, like, I ran the under 20 record at Bath Half, like, it wasn't mentioned anywhere, and I simply remember saying, if I was a boy, everyone would know. Like, if I was a male, like, it would be everywhere. There's been examples of, like, you know, like, a British, like, younger distance athletes that are males, and they've come at the top of the rankings, and it's been shouted about, and it's been everywhere, and it's like, wow, this person's done this. And then it's kind of like, but, you know, is it any different? Like, my time at London was all right, yeah, I ran 2:34, but it's equally, like, the second all-time under 23 British female marathon ever. And, like, I think, you know, the kind of, like, mentioning that is like a huge thing. And, you know, like, it's hard to run marathons, and it's hard to do it at a very young age as well. And it comes with a lot more kind of pressures on the body. And I just kind of think, if I was a boy, like, would I have got a contract out of this? Would I have been noticed? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I completely agree. And particularly with Jess Piasecki just recently, you were hard pressed to find an article anywhere about her 2:22, which is an incredible run. So, yeah, I think there's work to be done for sure. How and why it hasn't already been done is a different question, I suppose. But hopefully we're moving in the right direction. We hope.
For sure.
Time will tell, I suppose, in that regard. Okay. Yeah. So just to mention for listeners who don't know, so you ran at Kew Gardens 2:38 for marathon eighth position, and then at London you ran 2:34, as you said, second all time under 23 for it. And you've spoken previously about how the different races panned out, and the drinks were a big issue in Kew, and taking on fluids, and you did a better job at that in London. So you mentioned as well, obviously, you're still very young, and perhaps a slightly different path to some of those other women that we've mentioned, who perhaps stuck around the track for a while, were focusing 5,000s, 10,000s, and then moved up to the marathon. You've obviously moved up quite quickly. Is that just a case of it suits you? You feel like that's where your strengths are?
I think it's probably a bit of both, and like my history kind of growing up through the sport has been kind of very different from the kind of traditional, you know, athlete of doing like the 15s, the 8s, then the 3Ks, 5Ks, 10Ks, then moving to the road, then the marathon. And essentially, like, I started doing road 10Ks when I turned 15, just after my 15th birthday, and that's like the kind of age in the UK where you're allowed to do 10K races. So I went straight, you know, with 15, you are still a child, aren't you? And I went straight to kind of like running those distances, and, you know, in comparison to how I was doing in like the big cross countries and things, like, you know, I was coming like near the back at kind of Loughborough and English schools, where I was kind of like running like sub 40 for a 10K, which, you know, kind of felt a lot like more of a success for me type of thing. And I felt like at that point I was a lot more kind of at home on the roads, and it's, I suppose, it probably has kind of always been like that. You know, you put me on the track now and like I find it really hard, and it's definitely something that, you know, I'm kind of in a position now where I fully well know that to become a more successful endurance athlete, I equally need to learn how to run 5,000 and 10,000 on the track, and, you know, 5K and 10K on the road faster than I can do currently. And it doesn't mean that I'm ever going to be kind of like a world-class athlete over the 5,000 or the 3,000, for instance, but to be able to do it at a decent level will make me a better athlete. But yeah, I just feel kind of a lot more at home on the roads, and my biggest dream was always, you know, to kind of, you know, I'd watched London Marathon on the TV since I was like really little, and I just kind of thought, you know, like one day I'm going to do that. And then kind of became about like, well, I don't need to hang around for this, I can like have that moment. If I want to have that moment, I'll have that moment, type of thing. And yeah, I, in some senses, I can't believe that I've already done it. And finishing London Marathon, I thought I was going to be ecstatic, and I thought that it was going to feel like the best feeling in the world, like it was everything I'd always dreamed of. Like I can think about that finishing straight at the mall, and it like, it makes me cry just thinking about it. Yeah, I finished the marathon and kind of thought, is that it? Is that just a box ticked? Have I done that now? And I hope that one day I'll have that kind of, you know, perfect race at London Marathon, because I think it is so kind of special for British distance running. But yeah, it's a strange one. But yeah, definitely, I feel a lot more kind of at home on the roads. And yeah, it's just kind of what I enjoy, to be honest.
Mm, absolutely. And I suppose as you stepped up early, it just means you can get a number of builds under your belt quite early on, and hopefully that will pay dividends in the future through strength and experience and all the rest of it.
For sure.
Let's talk about the half marathon very quickly. So as you said, you're the under 20 British half marathon record holder. You had an amazing performance at Bath, but actually your time at Antrim of 72.54 in 2020 is your best time. Talk me through those two races, those sort of standout performances. So Bath, obviously you crossed the line first, and there's some great pictures of you breaking the tape and looking incredibly happy at the end, which must have been near your, am I right in thinking it must have been close to your 20th birthday?
Yeah, it will have been, yeah.
And then obviously improving that time at Antrim. Is the half something you want to give another good crack at in the future, or do you just see that as a stepping stone for your marathon stuff?
I would actually really like to do like a block of half marathon training and do a few half marathon races at some point without the marathon even being in the picture, because I think like the training for it's, you know, quite different. You know, if you're doing like 6x3k 1k flow, like you that's not what you need to be doing for a half, but equally it's not like kind of 5k 10k training. And yeah, I would really like to give it like a proper go at some point and see if I can, you know, get close to the 70 minute barrier. Although like in a sense, it almost seems like it's more achievable to run a 2:32 marathon than it does to run 70 minutes for a half for me personally, because the strength has always been kind of like, you know, like my strength is my strength type of thing. Whereas like the speed kind of isn't. And, you know, as you're getting kind of closer to that 70 minutes, like the pace is really quite fast, like yeah. And I think it's incredible the times that some like British female women have ran for the half marathon. Like when you work out the paces, I'm like, good god, that's so fast. But yeah, I would really like to give it a go. And like yeah, the back half was really quite a special one, because it was so it was in my first year of uni, and everybody knew that kind of coronavirus, whatever it was at that point, was kind of like coming, and it was probably going to be the last race. And I'd had quite a rocky kind of year or so really in terms of my running, because I did the world cross country and then got injured after that and struggled that summer. And then I moved to uni, and then it was such a big change and kind of didn't progress in the way that I wanted to. And then kind of, you know, after Christmas in my first year of uni, I started doing like the sessions on my own, and I had like Bath half as my goal. And I was like, no, I'm going to kind of prove that like I am still here, and that like, you know, I am still a good athlete, and do something that's more kind of, you know, more suited to me and more like where I felt like comfortable, and, you know, kind of going and running a PB there. And I just didn't expect it. I didn't think that I was in that kind of shape. It was, yeah, such a surprise when I saw the clock, really, because I wasn't looking at my watch during the race. That yeah, like all the photos and videos and stuff, like that was just like real raw emotion. And I wish I could just kind of like capture that again. Like that's how I thought I would feel when I crossed the line at London, and I just didn't. I think those times in running when you do feel like that are so few and far between, that like you've really got to appreciate them, because yeah, it was yeah, amazing. More just kind of like for my self-confidence, and it made me feel like I knew who I was again type of thing, and like I wasn't kind of like lost in the running scene type of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, so quite significant really, looking back.
Yeah, for sure.
How about sticking with the half, how about Gdynia, the World Half Marathon Championships in Poland? So GB vest, finishing, I think 64th position, low 73s. What was it like to be part of an event like that? I remember watching the stream, live stream, and Jake Smith had a really breakout performance, but lots of sort of turning back on yourself.
Yeah.
So what was that event like to be a part of?
I mean, it was really, really surreal and a really, really incredible thing to be part of. And just kind of like, I knew how lucky I was to have the opportunity to run in like a senior, like IAAF world championship race, like almost like at the standard that I was, because I knew that actually, like, you know, it was just kind of through almost like process of elimination. So many girls were injured at that point that I must have been about 10th on the list. But when I got the phone call to say that I was on the team, I just burst into tears. I was so happy because, like, you know, I just thought, I've got the chance, like I've got the opportunity, knew how lucky I was. And, you know, I suppose that everyone's kind of tick boxes are kind of like, you know, probably to get like a junior GB vest and then a senior GB vest. And then I kind of think, you know, like sometimes even now I kind of think like, oh, you know, maybe like, am I going to make it or whatever? And then I think actually put it into perspective, like you've already got a senior GB vest type of thing. And like, you know, people can say what they want, they can say, you know, we shouldn't deserve it or whatever, like, you know, I simply don't care. Like I did it, and I ran there, ran as the youngest person in the race, and yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And it just seemed, it was such a bizarre course because it was kind of like four laps, and it was kind of like a few like rises and then like a steep, like a steep downhill, and then you kind of ran along the seafront. But yeah, it was incredible. And like I've probably never felt so horrendous during a race in all my life, because I had a really, really bad, like, just kind of like a head cold, probably from being so kind of nervous and the flight and stuff. But, you know, like I felt when you're, you know, when you're so congested, I felt like I was going to be sick, had such a bad headache. But yeah, I really did kind of give that race my all and kind of dived across the finish line. But yeah, it was incredible. And I still can't believe that it happened. And then, you know, kind of finished and came back, and Poland went into kind of like lockdown the next day, and then it kind of heard that the whole like timing element of the half marathon race, like there was some kind of fire the day before, and like unbeknown to all of us, the race like almost didn't happen. And sometimes you think, gosh, there's so many things that were like against like doing it and like having a good race, that, you know, I'm just so glad that I did. And yeah, it kind of, it still feels surreal. And sometimes I kind of think, I think I wish I'd have like appreciated that more like right in the moment than I did, because yeah, it was really special, to be honest.
That's great. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about, you mentioned you're at St. Mary's University, and obviously one of the big running universities we have, alongside place like Loughborough and Birmingham, for our listeners who may not know. And I'm from that part of the world myself. So I know obviously you've got Bushey Park on your doorstep, Richmond Park not too far away, but just a real good community of really good runners around there. So how much of your decision to go to St. Mary's was running based, and what are you studying there? And what does the next chapter, you mentioned your coaching business and that you coach yourself, what does the next chapter after you graduate this year look like, do you think?
So going to St. Mary's was purely based on the running, because the previous year I was at the University of Leeds doing human geography and business management joint honours degree. And, you know, I was kind of doing that because I thought that like Uni of Leeds was a good uni. I'd worked like extremely hard in my GCSEs and A-levels. I hadn't done GCSE PE, A-level PE, any of the A-level sciences, because at that point in my life, running wasn't something that I ever envisaged, like ever kind of thought that I could, you know, like make something of it and kind of base my life around it. I'm not quite sure. I just wasn't in the headspace to think that that was a possibility at all. But then I got to Leeds and I had my first England international race, which was the Rennes 10K in France. And that was my first ever kind of international best. And that was like 3 weeks into starting at Leeds. And I got there and the girl that I was sharing a room with called Katie Hughes, and she was telling me all about St. Mary's and how great it was, and you know, how like the setup and the running and stuff. And I just kind of thought to myself, what am I doing? Like, I love running so much and I put so much into it, and I'm at my first international race, yet I'm going to go back home to Leeds and I'm doing a degree that's nothing to do with running, and the setup there is making running really quite difficult, just to do with like the locations and where my accommodation was and all those kind of things like that. I just kind of thought, well, what am I doing this for? I don't have to do something just because I feel like I should, because I've tried really hard and got these really good grades and I need to do something kind of academic and, you know, it has to be like that. And I said to my mum on the morning of the race, you know, I rang her up. I'm in this car park in some kind of strange place in France. And I was like, I'm going to drop out of Leeds. I was like, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. It's like, I don't want to do the degree that I'm doing and I don't want to be there. Like, I want to do something to do with running. And she was like, Becky, really, are you saying this now? She was like, go and do the race. She was like, do the race and we'll think about this afterwards. But yeah, so I flew home on the Monday, and by the Tuesday I'd tried to change to sports science at Leeds. They wouldn't let me. They were like, you haven't done the right A-levels. I was like, fair enough, I'll go then. So yeah, by the Tuesday I was all packed up and back at home, and then spent that year kind of working in retail and just kind of running. And then yeah, it was kind of like I couldn't go to Loughborough or Birmingham to do something kind of sport related unless I resat like a science for A level. So it was kind of like, well, that's like off the cards. Like, the option is like St. Mary's, so I'm going to go to St. Mary's. And yeah, turned up in September, hadn't looked around or anything, hadn't visited beforehand, and was just like, I either make this work or that's it. Because like, you can't like, you know, keep going to universities and dropping out type of thing. And yeah, luckily I fell in love with the place more than everything, and the people as well. Yeah, and yeah, I love it. And I hope that, you know, obviously it's such an expensive area around like Bushy Park and stuff, but you know, this is where I see my life for the next however many years, because I love it. And I just think that it's such a beautiful place to train. So yeah,
and such a rich history of athletes who have trained there, and at the track there, it's always buzzy, isn't it? Do you have obviously you're a student, as we've mentioned, a youngster, and training for the marathon, do you have company for your sessions, or are you the one slogging out the miles on your own a bit more?
Yeah, so in our group at the moment, coached by Jeff, like girls wise it's me, Sally Ratcliffe, and Sarah Aston. Sarah's training more for the kind of like 5k 10k, and Sally's just done her first marathon in Seville. And unfortunately our marathon blocks just didn't kind of add up when I started my marathon training. She was like away in Portugal. We managed to do one session together, which was my first marathon session, and it was like one of the ones that she did before she went to Portugal. So yeah, unfortunately it's all been on my own. But saying that, I don't think it's all necessarily a bad thing. I think it takes a lot of kind of mental strength, but equally, you know, when you are running a marathon, especially if it's kind of like the female only situation like it is like at London, yeah, I ran the majority of that race on my own. And you know, you kind of need to practice the like when it gets hard you're going to be on your own type of thing. So yeah, but we've got a nice group, in the sense that like more often than not, like we meet up and kind of like warm down together. You know, there's like Adam Clark, Ross Skelton, Josh Grace, Henry McCluckie, Sean Fontana, and obviously even though I'm not, you know, training with them, but it's a really nice kind of group atmosphere, and everyone's yeah, really nice. So yeah, it's good. Most of the sessions everything on my own. But yeah, you can always find people to easily run with, so that's nice.
That's great. And what does a typical training week look like for you, or do you not have such a thing as a typical training week? Are you two or three sessions a week? Do you focus on mileage? Do you run sessions for time or for distance? What, give us a bit of a flavour, if you don't mind, about how your training looks in the build up to a marathon.
So a standard kind of week in the marathon build up would be Monday 12 miles, just kind of easy, but I do a lot of my easy runs at about kind of like 6:40, 6:30 pace, which some people say is too fast, but that's significantly slower than I was running, say like 3 years ago for my easy runs. I used to kind of like hammer absolutely everything and be running like 5:50s for all of my runs. So I have significantly slowed it down. But yeah, so that's Monday, so like 12 miles. And then Tuesday will be a little bit of like a shorter kind of session, but still kind of like marathon kind of training. So for instance, like this morning we did 10 minutes, 5:43:21, 5:43:21. So you're still covering like about 9 miles in the session, and with warm up, warm down, that's like 15 miles total. Sometimes it'll be like 2 minutes, sometimes it'll be to kind of, you know, some like 5x Ks and then something else type of thing. Jeff just kind of does a complete mixture really, and most of the time there isn't like set targets for paces, as I actually always run better if there isn't a target, and then I just kind of like go for it. Like if someone for instance says to me like, I don't know, it's 10x a K and you've got to do them in 3:25, I'll panic and think I can't do that, whereas actually if Jeff just says it's 10x a K, I'll probably average 3:22. So that's kind of the, you know, the basis of like a Tuesday session. And then sometimes do a double, sometimes won't, like double for that would just be like 4 miles. And then Wednesday I'll do like 9 or 10 miles in the morning, which will just be like easy running again, hopefully with somebody else, find a friend to run with. And then in the evening on a Wednesday, I go to Pure Sport Run Club at Battersea Park, as I'm an ambassador for them, and that's, you know, it's an amazing community and something that I'm so glad to be a part of, and met some amazing people, amazing stories. And yeah, do a few easy miles around Battersea Park there, which is always nice. And then Thursday I usually do like 12 miles in the day, so it might be like 7 and 5, probably double run on Thursday. And then Friday is the kind of marathon session day, so that's like that's kind of like the priority of the week is the Friday session. So for instance, this week I've got a 24 mile run, which is not super fast or anything, but equally not like really easy, but kind of like to practice strengths. Last week, 6x3K, 1K flow, maybe like a 30K progression or more like a 20K tempo, that kind of thing, 1K on, 1K float. So it's, big session on a Friday, cover probably like over 20 miles with warm up and warm down. And that's kind of like the key part of the week. And then Saturday's like the easy day, which is like maybe 8 miles, probably like a bit close to 7 minute miling. And then Sunday is like long run, but it's not like super long in marathon training. It's probably shorter than it would be if I was doing kind of 10k training in the summer. The long run would probably actually be longer than it is in marathon training, and marathon training is probably like 15 miles, just at kind of like a nice relaxed pace. And yeah, I don't like to focus too much on like getting as many miles in as possible, as I just think it's a really silly idea. It's lovely to hit 100 miles, but like once you've done it once, then kind of like that satisfaction kind of goes away a little bit. Like once you know that you can do it, it's like, all right, I can do that. But equally, like a really good week is 97 or 98 miles, and I think that's there isn't much point in doing junk mileage. And you know, like for instance today I could have gone out and done a double, but I'm like, is it going to be beneficial? I don't know, maybe. I think everyone's got like different philosophies, but I think because I'm still young as well, like I appreciate that I'm asking my body to do so much. And while other girls might be on like 60 or 70 miles a week, I've been, you know, running over 80 miles a week for the past 3 or 4 years now, which I know is a lot. So yeah, I just try and kind of keep it like, just try and keep kind of sensible over it, and try not to push it too much and try not to chase mileage or anything.
That sounds very sensible. Yeah. Is the Friday session the one that you really get excited about and the one that you look forward to the most? Is that what sort of you enjoy the most?
I don't think I could say that I enjoy the feeling once it's finished, the satisfaction. I think there is equally something kind of daunting about, especially because I do them on my own, you know, it's like a long time to be out sessioning for, especially when it's a kind of like something big, like a 30K progression or like something with floats, because you can't really break it down because you don't stop type of thing. So I often get a little bit nervous, wouldn't kind of say excited, but equally, like, I know it's really important and I'm trying to look at it as being more exciting because, you know, it's me who wants to do this type of thing. I've tried to kind of switch my mindset to that, but equally, like, you know, there is some kind of thing, I think, especially when you know how hard something's going to be, kind of like the anticipation of like that pain and the concentration you have to put in, like it's always going to be there type of thing. So yeah,
that's great. I'm conscious of time, Becky, so I'll rush through some of these other questions I've got. You mentioned perhaps lack of sponsorship or support, but you've also mentioned you doing some work with Pure Sport, and am I right in thinking you get some kit and what have you from Pro Direct Running? Do you have a partnership there?
It's not like an official partnership. It's more just kind of like bits of kind of kit every now and then. I was previously with SaySky, but that was just kind of kit, and I kind of built up so much of it that I was like, you know, I don't kind of need any more of this kit type of thing. And I was like, I would prefer to maybe race in like alternative kit. So yeah, I think it's difficult, and like I'm fully aware that I'm in a position where I'm not the caliber of athlete to be on a paid sponsorship at the moment. In the future, that's, you know, that's the dream. Like, of course it's the dream, but I understand that that's, you know, maybe not right now type of thing. But yeah, any kind of, you know, I've had like a few pairs of like trains and stuff from ProDirect, and you know, it makes a massive difference, because yeah, it's hard, and I, you know, I'm a student now, and you know, I'm kind of like working out like my life choices as to, you know, how I'm going to kind of like sustain myself to live in this part of the UK, because it is expensive, like from September when my contracts on like student accommodation runs out. And yeah, I think it is hard, and I think especially in the marathon, I have so much respect for anybody who runs the marathon and trains for marathon, who works kind of like full-time standard like hours, because like if I do a run like early in the morning, I feel like horrendous for the rest of the day. And I know you get used to it, and I know people might say, oh, you know, you're being pathetic or whatever, but equally, I just have so much respect for the people that do it, because it is really hard, and there is a big difference between going out and doing, for instance, you're an 800 meter runner and you have like a 5 mile run one day, or if you have like 12 miles, like it takes a lot more time, and you know, you have got to find the time from somewhere, and you need to get your sleep in and get the right food in, stuff like that. And yeah, I think it's yeah, it is hard, and in an ideal world, like everyone would be a sponsored athlete, wouldn't they? And everyone would live the dream. But, you know, unfortunately, that's just not the case. But yeah, that's the dream is to one day, you know, be able to kind of like put more focus into it. And yeah, but for now, like, you know, you just kind of like do your best and kind of, you know, hope that, you know, everything you do like kind of will help. And I think it's nice in the sense that the running world is becoming more like, for instance, like ProDirect, it's not necessarily just kind of like money and kit being kind of thrown at you. You're kind of giving something back, whether it's through like social media content or something like that, which I think is a really, you know, I wish there was kind of more of that, because it's not that like I will work for things, like I will you know, give the work back type of thing. And if it's in kind of like an alternative way, whether it's through like posts or like videos or whatever, then, you know, I think that that's kind of a real positive of like where the running world is going for, you know, those athletes that are kind of not quite at the level of being on full sponsorship, but are like, you know, kind of in between. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And just sticking with the kit issue, have you got your kit sorted? You know what you're going to wear in 3.5 weeks time? You got your that all sorted?
Nope, absolutely not. Yeah, I've got no idea yet. I think it's difficult. Like, I'm in a difficult position where I'm kind of like, do I wear like branded kit, for instance, like a Nike vest, or do I wear like my club kit, which like my club is City of Hull. But actually, at the moment, like, I've got no connections with my home club at all because I don't live there and I haven't lived there for the past 3 years. You know, but equally, I don't want to change clubs because I've got no connections with any clubs kind of in London, you know. Like Jeff, my coach, isn't like with, you know, he's not like a, it's not like Aldershot or like Belgrave or like Tonbridge. So, you know, I've got kind of no reason to move clubs, but then equally I'm like, you know, do I want to be wearing that vest at the trials? I don't know. I think it's hard. I chose to wear it at London, and I thought it was kind of nice amongst like all the sponsored vests to have kind of a club vest. But then some people say, well, no, if you wear, you know, a branded vest, then they're more likely to kind of give you a sponsorship. And I'm like, well, does it really work like that? I'm not sure. But, you know, you just don't know, do you? But no, I'm not sure yet. Sure.
Last question, Becky, before we get onto some quick fire ones, if you don't mind. You spoke quite honestly recently about previous struggles with eating disorder on your Instagram page. I don't know how much you would want to get into this, but I suppose it's just at where you are now. How do you look back at that time in your life, and how does running either help or hinder that relationship that you've got?
I think that it's very difficult to kind of put into words, and obviously everyone has their kind of own unique experiences, and my kind of eating disorder struggles were never really, it was always so very based around the running. It was always the running, and that was what got me into such a bad place and kind of got me out of such a bad place, because, you know, like when I was, you know, like stuck in an inpatient unit at the age of 12, the sole reason to get myself out of there was so that I could run again. And I think that's why I kind of have, it's almost like not a toxic relationship with running, but it's like, and it's always been like that. And, you know, it's such a big part of my life. And I think as I'm growing older, like I'm learning that like I am also me type of thing. And, you know, but it's hard when, like, you know, I don't think there's that many people who know me for anything other than my running, which is kind of like a strange, you know, like it is my personality. But equally it's not, like, it's not my personality. But yeah, I think it's hard. I think that it's made me a really strong person. And I kind of think that, you know, like, for instance, like I, you know, I gave up kind of like so much to get myself back to being able to run. And it's been such a hard journey to kind of like get to where I am now that I think I do kind of appreciate it maybe more than some other people do. That like I know what it's like to not be allowed to run, and for someone to, you know, literally not be allowed to, you know, go and put your trainers on and go for a run. And I think that then kind of the freedom to be like, oh, actually I can do that. There's something really quite kind of special about it. But equally, I just think that it's so sad kind of looking back and kind of thinking also, like, I don't really know, like, how much irreversible damage have I caused upon my body through the way that I treated it, through, like, you know, kind of growing up type of thing. And like, no one really knows. And, you know, like, I'd love to be able to say that I'll be in female marathon running for the next 12 years, but like, will I? I don't know. Like, I hope my body doesn't give up. But, you know, equally, like, you know, I know that the way I treated it in the past, not eating right, not eating enough, like, it will have had some kind of, you know, lasting damage. And yeah, I just kind of think that it's hard because it's always going to be a part of the sport, and especially endurance running. Like, it's not like a new thing. Like, the philosophy of like being lighter is faster, you know, it's been around forever. And equally, to some extent, there are physiological advantages to being like a certain amount of kind of lean, and like everyone's kind of aware of that. And I think it's just kind of like making sure that, you know, you're in like it's the mindset as well, being like in a healthy place. And I don't even know whether there's a solution to it, and I don't think it'll ever kind of be solved. And kind of seeing so many girls kind of growing up and it kind of going wrong, and so many girls who have like fallen out of the sport, yeah, it's hard. And I think because I was in such a bad place at such a young age, that now I can kind of appreciate like how important it is to try and treat your body with respect. But yeah, it's hard when you kind of still see people, you know, say things, and you know, that person doesn't look like they should be able to do this, or you know, like when people kind of, you know, say to me, well, like in the sense that like for instance, I've never had a period, and I know that that's not ideal at all, and you know, I'm trying to look into it, but the help is kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to find, you know, the right help through GPs and stuff. But the amount of people that have said to me, yeah, but you look healthy, you still look strong, and I'm like, yeah, that's because I've worked so hard to get myself into a place where, you know, like I am strong. But equally, like, I don't know, I think that that's hard, because then, you know, if I wasn't in the mind frame that I'm in now, I could kind of take that as, oh, actually, like maybe I should not look strong, and that would kind of like justify the reason as to why. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's made me who I am, and it's made me kind of appreciate all the beautiful things in life, and that, like, you know, it's not that bad. You know, and yeah, running is a fantastic thing, but if you kind of get sucked into the wrong side of it, then it can be also the worst thing. So yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Becky. Do you feel like that people are talking about it more than they have before? I mean, we've had a few, so we had Hannah Irwin on a few weeks ago, who spoke about her experiences with it. Jenny Nesbitt quite a while ago, who spoke about her own experiences with it. Do you think people are talking about it more than they have done in the past, which will hopefully breed more conversation and more action potentially?
I think it's almost a difficult one, because I think that as much as it's absolutely fantastic that more people are talking about it and more people are opening up, equally, it's not that it's normalizing it, but I almost think that it's normalizing it, that it's saying that like a lot of successful endurance athletes have experienced this, and therefore is it normal? And I think that I don't know whether that is helpful, and I know that I'm a part of that, and I think that that's really quite hard. And I think that, you know, there's some athletes, for instance, Jenny Nesbitt and Hannah Irwin, who have come out the other side and are now, you know, healthy and thriving and being really successful. But then equally, there's a very large proportion of athletes who have opened up, who now no longer run. And I don't know. I think it's a really difficult one. I think that, yes, it's being opened up a lot more, but there is some kind of sense that, you know, like you look through Instagram and or you look through like past results of athletes, and you kind of think, you know, you're almost in the minority if you actually haven't struggled. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't know what to think of that. I just think that it's really hard. Yeah, I think it's a harsh part of the sport that is definitely very much a reality.
It is. And there obviously isn't an easy fix or an easy answer to it all. And But yeah, okay. Well, thank you for sharing your experiences with that. Sometimes I know those things aren't easy to talk about, so we appreciate you doing that. It seems a bit silly now, but we always finish with some quick fire questions, which are lighthearted and
go for it.
So we'll see how that goes. A bit of a change of tack now, but yeah, a couple of quick fire questions to finish off, Becky. If you could go for a run with any sports person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh gosh, that's a really hard one. Let me have a think. I feel like I want to say Paula Radcliffe, but I feel like that's so generic.
But are you a fan of any other sports aside from
running? No, I'm not. I'm actually very, very bad at any other sports apart from running. The fact that I wasn't put in top set PE in secondary school has scarred me for life. But yeah, I'm simply just not very good at any other sports. I've not got very much like coordination. Yeah. But no, do you know who I would go with? I would go with Kelly Holmes when she was kind of, you know, going for the Olympics and like it was going wrong. I think I would go for her because I think that like she just seemed like such a strong athlete, and she was kind of someone who I aspired to, you know, aspired when I was like younger, like when I was still like very much a child and wasn't even doing the sport in myself. I saw her as such kind of like an inspirational woman that I'd probably go with her, and she has such kind of like a story and such a background that yeah, Kelly Holmes.
Cool. And similar, I suppose, if you could go back in time to witness any sporting event in history, is there one that sticks out that you'd love to have seen live or been around of at the time?
Probably Paula Radcliffe crossing the line at the marathon. I think to witness that would have been phenomenal, as it's still kind of like such a big part of like history now type of thing. But yeah, I would go and I'd watch that.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, Becky, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Thank you for being so open and honest, and we wish you the very best of luck ahead of Manchester, and I'm sure you'll do brilliantly well, and we'll look forward to tracking your career in the future. So thanks so much, Becky.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Thank you.